In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and sidekick Louise Reed, as we talk about bad prophecy. You know you've received an awful word. Join us to see how it should have gone. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and live in the studio in Glasgow, it's the joyful, jolly...
Louise
giant.
Reed. Jolly giant. Well, oh, please don't. I received a prophetic word, okay, one day about being like a jolly green giant.
That is not a nice prophetic word.
No, but the laugh of it was I used to have a green dressing gown.
What?
And my kids used to call me the green giant when I wore that dressing gown. So then I got this prophetic word. I actually took it positively. I believe in taking most prophetic words positively, even if they don't sound positive.
That is very
I'm going to be a green giant on the land of Ireland.
There's a number I've just completely put in the bin. What? Somebody came up to me once and said, I just see Iceland. And I'm like, what, the grocery shop Iceland?
Oh.
Or the country Iceland?
Oh, hope
I don't know. Just Iceland. Thanks. Okay. I don't know why I held my face after that one.
I don't get, well, I know you get some really difficult words. I don't actually get, people are quite nice to me. They say they're either banal or they're good. But if they're just average, I kind of upgrade them myself.
I go the opposite. I get irritated.
Yes, you do. You're much more dismissive. I'm more like, I'm going to enhance this word. They made a good start. I'm going to enhance it.
Well, you win at the shepherding. I think it's because I get so many of people who come up and want to prove they can hear God.
Yeah.
So I know everybody can hear God. You don't need to prove you can hear God. You're Christian. You've heard his voice.
Uh-huh.
My sheep know my voice. Uh-huh. It doesn't need proved in ridiculousness.
Mm, well, that's true.
Yeah.
What's the most ridiculous prophetic word you've ever received? Come on.
There's a couple where... I'm going to tell you who said them. Where I was at a conference, David, my husband, not there, bearing in mind he's been Christian since birth and so have I, more or less.
Yeah.
Born and raised in church, both of us. I had a word, I just see your husband doesn't love Jesus. Oh. And God's going to go and find him and he's going to find faith and you're not to worry. And, you know, he's never been an intelligent, practically gifted man, but I'm going to make him. And I'm like, I literally laughed in their face because it wasn't even one you could be gracious about. It was complete and utter mince.
I know. So how did you react?
I laughed in their face.
Okay,
I mean, I literally did. Like, what the heck are you talking about? That utter nonsense.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
See, I know, in a slightly more shepherdy way, I would have said to them, that's a great word, but I think you've got the wrong person.
Oh, you're very lovely.
I have seen international prophets.
This was an international prophet, known
oh,
prophet who called me onto a platform and publicly did it.
Oh, it was public?
It was public.
Oh, that's humiliating.
I laughed in their face.
I didn't realize it was, well, I have seen serious international prophets prophesy from a platform, an incredible word, but completely over the wrong person because they didn't know the people in the congregation or in the audience. And it's wrong person.
Because it is a skill not just to hear God, but to hear who it's for.
Totally. So you can send people off into completely the wrong ministry if you get the wrong person and right word.
Yeah. David gets a lot of, I just see you with a violin. Because they know he's musical and they know he's musical, but the only classical instrument they know is the violin.
Dear, that's hilarious.
I'm laughing away. It's actually quite serious.
He doesn't look like a violinist.
No, no, we do have to do better. We do have to do better.
Come on,
God. It's why we're rightfully in disrepute because we do generate a lot of crazy.
I know, but it's a dilemma because when you speak the word of the Lord, you want to speak it with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So often we speak things with confidence, mm-hmm. but we're talking nonsense. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. But then sometimes we have fabulous revelation and we're a bit pathetic about how we bring it because we're not too sure. And so we have to find, we just have to learn. We have to grow. We have to mature.
We have to grow. And actually there are some safe places to practice. And
of course there is.
You need to find safe places.
And if you don't have one, find one.
Find one. And one of the ones I think I was most irritated by was a gentleman who was actually prophesying about a building we were going to have, which actually was quite needed. And so it was not actually the word that was the problem in that case, but he was he started staring at my chest area whilst he was giving the word. And I was feeling increasingly physically uncomfortable because there was a bit of a sexual inappropriateness, but he's prophesying accurately. And so he says this, this may need to be edited out. He says this, the Lord is establishing a building in your bosom. And I mean, I was really cross with him because it was inappropriate on so many levels.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think we should probably stop those stories now because you and I both know.
I have a list.
We have. I have so many stories around that stuff.
The need to. And actually, I think it's why we do prophetic schools and it's why we do put people through their paces.
Yeah.
You can't expect to prophesy well after, you know, a 6-week school.
No.
Please, you don't want to be fast-tracked. You want to go through the processes of knowing that you've got the right person, that you've got the right words around about it, that, you know, all of that.
Yeah, and there's such an ebb and flow in the journey of God and with the Spirit of God. This is not, as you say, 6-week course or an e-school. Oh, I've done Emma Stark's e-school. I must be a prophet.
No, it does not qualify you.
This is a call and it's a journey. And you've got to live it by the Spirit.
Yes. Because actually wrong prophetic words, you do need to go, I take that seed out of my life, that it doesn't grow into a tree of thought that actually is taking me, growing me away from what the word of the Lord is doing. That is a skill set.
For sure.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I'm laughing. Why? Because I'm just thinking how, you know, you're really black and white. If anything that comes near you and you have any suspicion or you just immediately you get a bitter taste, you are just like, I am not having that. And it's like, whereas I'm actually more gracious, although probably I'm getting less gracious as I get older in those areas. But I don't even allow it in. See, I just don't allow those things in.
I think the reason why I get short with that is because I know how easy it is to get right.
Yeah.
And I know that if you find a mentor and you do your due diligence and you practice and you're reading your Bible, that this is not rocket science. This is relationship. Mm. And you know what God sounds like and you love people well and you love people well enough that you do your best for them.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start to prophesy to prove yourself or as soon as you start to prophesy for a promotion or to put people right, which is what an awful lot of prophecy is in the local church context. Mm-hmm. And I can completely understand. Look, let's close our books and let's have this conversation, Louise, because this is that we were going to talk about something else, but we'll come back to it.
Okay.
But let's
another time.
Now I'm exercised. I'm exercised.
Oh, no. Watch out, everybody,
because I've spent a lifetime trying to bring credibility to the voice of God.
Yes.
And spent years pouring out, I mean, like literally decades pouring out into the lives of others. And then people, whippersnappers, want to put their clergy right, their minister right. Oh. They want to write a word of correction. They want to tell them off. They don't actually sit enough in what is your heart, God? What do you feel? What are you saying? Mm. That you see so much opinion, because you feel you have a right to be seen or heard, or you've loved that church long enough that you jolly well should get your say-so now. And the whole journey is away from yourself and into carrying the weight of God, away from my opinion, my proving of myself, my need to be seen, my need to put something right. You got to have that incinerated out of you to do a good job, where it is God, your opinion.
Yeah.
God, your thoughts.
Your emotions.
God, your emotions.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is not, do I have empathy with God? This is, can that's ugly. Somebody asked me that recently on a platform, you know, do I just need to be empathetic with the emotions of God? No, no, because that's arrogant. That's like you putting yourself higher than God. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the purpose of the prophet and the prophetic people is I have lost or given away under a righteous spirit of martyrdom, I have crawled on the altar and given myself to be burnt by God, that I might become aware of his ways, his thoughts. And most prophecy is not that. Most prophecy is around the ego.
Gosh.
Either the massaging of the ego of the recipient, so you get a better honorarium, because they like you, so they give you money, or the ego of the giver, where they look like they know something. And there's no place for ego in Revelation.
Mm. But that is quite a journey, Emma. It really is, because our understanding of prophecy, and particularly in local church, is so low level and safe,
yes,
and very much what we call first breath of prophecy. And for many, they're still stuck in that. But the journey of going through that into getting a bit bolder, a bit stronger, starting to lose ourselves a bit more, until we sit in the mouth of God, until we sit in the heart of God, where we have no thought for ourselves because we're so completely possessed, and I'm using that word on purpose, possessed and obsessed with his purpose, his intent, his glory, his design, his intention, his will, his way, that we're so consumed with that, that we're completely given over. And
it's deeply uncomfortable because you then have to broadcast and disseminate words that are outside of your comfort zone, that are even outside of your own, I don't know, secular education and understanding. You're giving words that you don't know what they mean to people in the room. And I used to have a mentor. Thank goodness I no longer have this mentor, who, when the Lord gave me a word, they actually said to me, why didn't you Google that before you released it? And I just thought, you can't look after me, because I'm not going to Google an organization that I've heard that I didn't know exist by breath of the Spirit and then temper it for acceptability.
Yes. And it is pushing us into much more the wisdom of God.
Yes.
As distinct from any wisdom of even another believer, or I mean, Google is an extreme. Google has no wisdom attached; it's just information.
Yeah.
But that whole idea of being so given over, and you know, for you know, our listeners, you'll know where you're at. You'll be able to gauge at some level, gosh, how given over am I? I mean, I have seen you particularly in situations where I've known, oh my goodness, she is going to ecstatically prophesy and she has no idea what's going to come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
But right now she's getting herself correctly aligned so that you know that you're completely given over. And it's not even being given over to the word. That's not it. It's about being so given over to him. So you are prophesying, you are in that moment the word of the Lord.
Yes, I think there's a fear of the Lord that must live righteously. I know I will have to stand before him and give account, and I fear him more than I am interested in reputation and in men. And most of us think small. And I understand this because of the nature of the questions that I am repetitively asked. And they're small questions. And they're questions about my local context where I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
And the weaponizing of prophecy in the wrong way to put somebody right must never be in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It is, what do you want to say, God?
Yeah, yeah. And being lost into his bigger picture. Because yes. Even though the word of the Lord comes sharp and like a sword, it has an impact of shattering that is way beyond the expanse of what we can see. But we've got to start being able to get it so into him that we have the freedom to give that. So, I mean, I'm talking about this and going, yeah. God, do it in me. Every people group, every nation in the earth, every yeah. family needs that. Do it in me, because I'm asking, I'm saying, oh, here I am. Do it in me. And particularly the ecstatic mm-hmm. side of mm-hmm. where we're so given over that mm-hmm. in a moment, mm-hmm. the word of the Lord comes.
Yes.
And I, you know, you might be able to comment on checks and balances in that. So when you're in a moment where you yeah. know something weighty is coming, now you do a lot of preparation so that you are spending so much time with the Lord in preparation. So when you get up and prophesy, it's not just here I am, I've pitched up and here we go, I'll ecstatically prophesy. It's a huge levels of being with the Lord.
Yeah.
But then those moments come. So what's that like, and what do you do in those moments?
Yes, I mean, literally it's ours, and this the notebooks that I have that travel with me everywhere, like little children. This one I started a couple of months ago, and it's days. It's not just an hour here. Days and days and days of getting a feel for what God is doing in the earth is yeah. what I would say first.
Yeah.
I'm understanding, or trying to understand as best as dust can understand, the story that God is telling around the earth.
Yeah.
So that you are anchoring something local or something territorially regional into something that is the story of God around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm often saying to the Lord, what are you doing in the widest context?
Yeah.
So that I have lost righteously any sense of pettiness,
uh-huh.
because I then understand how that nation or that region fits
into the wider purposes
yeah. of God building his kingdom. So that often takes a lot of, can I go up to be with you where you are, where you're in oversight over, so I get the feel of the rhythm of what you're doing. And then how does this church or this people work with that, which is the story of God?
Yeah, where do they fit?
They fit within? What I find in that is I am surprised. I'm often surprised by the gentle kindness of God,
mm.
where he's putting more favor than they know they deserve,
mm.
but he's good. And then I'm surprised because it's so international. I sat with somebody recently. I didn't know their culture. I don't need to know their culture to prophesy. I mean, I'd like to learn. Yeah. So I didn't know which of bits of what I said would be the wincing bits.
Yeah.
And what I thought would be hard turned out to be easy. And what I thought was God just kind of give me a wee bit of an extra three sentences
yeah.
was actually the killer blow. And I did not know that because
yeah.
I'm not them.
Yeah.
So you don't even know which bits are the good, hard, easy, that you don't know. You just learn to trust God. But to answer the question, and I'll do it in Mexico. Recently, I'm traveling with Suzanne and one of my intercessors, Stephanie Claiborne, is there. And Suzanne's my assistant. And we've done the due diligence, hours of prayer. I've written a word for Mexico. And then yeah. I feel the Spirit.
Yeah.
And he says to me, I need you to say something more. And I've done this enough to recognize
yes.
that. And you've watched me
yes,
there.
Yes, I have.
And I can feel the weight mm. of Not just the spirit, because I often feel the weight of the spirit. I can feel the weight of the spirit of revelation.
Okay.
And that's different. And I can feel an urgency to release his utterance uh-huh. inside in a completely different way. But you're right. I don't know what's going to come out. And I remember grabbing the lectern going, I'm starting to get a sense.
Yeah.
And in my mind, physical mind, my humanity, I went, oh no, oh no. And I was terrified in that moment for a split second because I knew it was offensive, not to the Mexicans, but to the Americans.
Okay.
And I knew that I'd already been attacked and the sense of hostility from American prophets. And I actually had a moment where I thought, I don't think I can do that attack again.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I can do that level of rejection again. And it was very public. And I'm actually saying out loud, oh no, oh no, oh no, holding the lectern, head bent down. And then your history with God kicks in.
Yes.
And your big yes kicks in. And the fear of the Lord, who is loving, the fear of the Lord is a loving, tender thing for me, kicks in. And I'm like, how can I not? How could it not be a yes?
Yeah, yeah.
In what world could it not be a yes? And you know why you've said this, God, and you know what the cost will be. And you know that you will guard me because you said it. And I trust that if you give this to me to say, you'll have a plan that nurtures and protects me, mm-hmm. even if I've got to take some stuff. And so I just brought the word.
And those things, I assume, were going through your head and your heart in split seconds.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's like a moment there, a moment, and then,
yes.
And while yes. you're saying, oh no, those things are, and then you center yourself.
And then you center yourself in the possession of the Spirit.
Yes.
And then it's like an explosion of, and the Spirit of the Lord says. And I think that's why we spend so many years in training others, because in essence, revelation isn't the hard bit, but the hard bit is the surrender of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Which is why I think I'm irritable with the words that are not surrendered.
Nebulous and
just kind of whatever. Like
yeah.
the swagger of the immature that want a microphone.
Yeah.
And I our lie should be a standard of something higher.
Yeah. And wanting to call people as quickly as possible up and out of that.
Yes.
But also with the understanding that we all started somewhere. We all probably were weak and pathetic or whatever at some stage. So having mercy and compassion, but at the same time calling people to about, look, you don't spend as little time as possible there because there is a great yes. need and a great call. Move on as fast as possible.
And top tips in all of this, you're not really, I can't remember the last time I ever said to the Lord, what are you saying?
Yeah, because you know.
Well, I think it's higher. It's with me, it's much more, how are you feeling? But that's entry level two. I think very entry is, what are you saying?
Uh-huh.
I must have the word of God, so I must know what he is saying. That's entry level thinking. So, and then it progresses to, what are you feeling?
Yeah.
Which I think is a higher sense of communing with his status,
mm-hmm.
his emotions over nations. And then it's like, what are you doing in the earth? And can I see and be part of that?
Mm.
So I am joining in with
yes.
the business of what the heavens are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the revelation is so straightforward because I am working with God in what he's doing in the earth. And because you're sitting in that sort of, here's a map room, here's a decision-making room, here's a council room, here's a busyness in heaven where they're actioning a certain thing and I'm agreeing and I'm part of it, and I'm feeling the emotion of the heavenly realms, feeling the emotion of God. We're praying, chatting, and I'm saying, well, what are you doing about the prophets in the earth? Talk yes. to me about what is under the Palace of Versailles in France, because I'm feeling that. So what's the enemy doing there, God? How are you strategizing against that? How can I come into agreement? So once you're there, if I then prophesy into a church in France, I'm not actually so bothered about their pettiness.
Exactly. It's a much wider context.
It's a much wider thought. Yeah. And so it's not, can I get a word for you or can you get a word for me? Of course we can.
That's not the issue.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
It's, have we understood, how does Louise Reed fit into the story that God is telling in the earth? And therefore, if I can share that with you, you're able to place the personal part of the word for you
yeah.
within a context of the kingdom outworking.
Yeah, and at a very basic personal prophecy yeah. level, what we're really saying is, you know, a commentary on a little bit of blessing, a little bit of encouragement and exhortation. Really, we're so much further beyond yes. that. It's being able to, having a revelation of the wider heart, mind, emotions of God, and then seeing that person within that context.
Yes.
So that you can bring something that is going to seed into them
yes.
or into a church or into a business or whatever you're prophesying into, that is going to give them the explosive power to become everything or the next thing that God wants them to be or is giving them or is calling them into within a wider context.
Yeah.
That's transformational. Well, huge.
I think the distilling down of this into some more pithy sentences is, if we talk about the old wine or the institutionalization of the prophetic,
yeah.
it thinks about the individual too much.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And once you think about the individual as your prime destination of revelation, you are almost immediately pulled into the need for them to break through, rise up, get strong, be a success. But the new wine is around your place in the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And the very second you have shifted out of the old wine and into the new wine, you have shifted from the thought of the individual to the thought of us in the kingdom. And
yeah.
that is the major thought shift here.
Yeah.
So therefore, my prophesying to you as an individual, which is still necessary, is that you might understand how you fit within the kingdom. Because once you understand how you fit within the kingdom, you serve, you give, you pay a price. You know, you'll even be content to take a Romans 1 nation in judgment or a Romans 1 nation being given over or exiled. You'll take your place in that if you understand that that is the necessity of God for your nation. And he's saying, in the midst of your nation in exile, in the midst
yes.
of your nation with an economic downturn, in the midst of what God is saying, I love you, so I'm pursuing this nation with justice and judgment, and I'm asking this nation to come to its knees. In the midst of what I am doing in this wider context, I am asking you, the individual, to hold my glory. Now it's obvious it's not for yourself.
Mm.
Now it's obvious it's not about a one-man ministry. Now it's obvious that it's not about your greatness, because it should be obvious that the need is that you hold glory that tempers a nation that is walking through an exile. And once you go the kingdom and your place in the kingdom, prophecy is totally different to, I'm just going to give you a word.
So, Emma, what about people who are listening to this and they're going, well, you know, I'm prophetic because we all are prophetic.
Yes.
I'm not called to the office of prophet, but I am prophetic. How do I up my level of gift when I'm not yeah. really one who spends hours sitting in the realms with God, in and out of war rooms or strategy rooms, yeah, or interacting with heavenly beings. But I do want to be able to prophesy in a way that is going to push the envelope, is going to seed something into somebody, mm-hmm, that is going to have a wider, yes, context, yeah, and, yes, not just a low level nice word of encouragement.
Yes. Well, I would ask some questions. Not what are you saying? Forbid that. What are you feeling, God, so that you are more in tune and in sync with him? What, right, are you feeling, God, would be the first point. But I would then be saying, what's your story for this city and region and nation? Mm. What's your story? So when you understand that, you feel like a different revelator.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so you're asking big questions. Mm. I would say, even though you may never be given a microphone, nor may you may not even want one, in terms of, you know, thus says the Lord over a church or a region or a state, you still need to, even if it's just a personal encouragement for your neighbor and your home group,
yeah,
you still need to cite that person within the structure of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So, and they may never know all that you know, because they don't need to.
Yeah.
But how you will disseminate it will help them become, because you're going to go, well, what are you doing in this region, God?
Yeah. I mean, that's really shifting things out of the individual, yes, into much more responsibility,
yes,
for an area, a city,
yes,
a nation, whatever. But what you're saying is that is doable for the normal,
absolutely,
Christian in a church, mm-hmm, who is used to the individual prophecy. I mean, that is just such great advice, is, you know, shift it,
yes,
into a wider context, and then prophesy according to the wider context and that person, not just as an individual, but,
yeah,
much more as somebody who's part of a much bigger, bigger picture.
Now, interestingly, when we were training our Lion Roars team the other day, you and I, Louise, which is our most senior group of about, I don't know how many there are, about 80 prophets around the world.
Uh-huh.
We call them Lion Roars. And we'd ask them to get a word for what God is doing in the nations, mm, not a specific,
yes,
place. Now, that was quite a hard listen, because most of them were bringing an understanding that God was in a judgment or a justice vibe.
Yeah.
That they were understanding that he was Romans 1 giving over, that he was heavy and weighty in the earth right now, that, uh-huh, there was great, great glory, great darkness, great glory, but a sense of putting the wrong things right. And all of that's in there. Now, had an outsider listened to that, they would have thought, oh my, this is so heavy.
Yes.
This is so extreme.
Yeah.
You know, I'll actually read you.
Quite doom and gloom.
Quite doom and gloom. Now, I do not expect them to then disseminate all of that on a broadcast. That's not the point. So, you know, I'll give you some things here. The earth is moving. There's going to be quakes, spewing up of volcanoes. There's going to be uprisings in the nations due to fear and riots. We're in the judgment of God for 3 years. This is just one of them, you know. Then another one, the world maps crumbled. New borders and land masses were formed. Nations were renamed. That's another one. Another one, God is purging his church, searching for faithfulness. Then another one, the God of light exposes. Now, I mean, I could go on for the however many were on that,
yeah,
call.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
It was a lot of that. Now, what is that doing? Now, if we sit and disseminate all of that, nobody's left standing. But for the prophet heart, they get the context.
Yes, exactly.
So that's a worldwide word. Now I'm able to say to them, put your nation in context. Put an individual in the context of that understanding.
Mm.
So you know, for example, that a word is about to come forth that says, God has need of you in this hour, and he's taken you through some very difficult days that he might purify you.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs you purified because of what is happening in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And although you might not say it all, your tone will convey it.
Mm.
And he wants you purified for what is happening in the earth, because he now needs you to be a standard,
yes,
of strength as nations shake.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, the whole sense of revelation for the expansion of the kingdom is understood.
Yeah.
But I don't want my lot given all of that. But they do need to know it.
Yeah. That's brilliant. I mean, yeah. It is about understanding context. So then.
Yes.
And this is also the training of the mind and the renewed mind of the prophet,
mm-hmm.
to be able then to turn within the context,
yes.
and also bring heart redemption.
Yes.
Not like I have to bring redemption because that's what's expected, but yes. actually knowing the God of redemption. So yes. then the revelation of that starts yes. to flow. And then it's palatable in the sense of it won't totally overwhelm yes. the listener, because we do have to be careful about what people can mm-hmm. manage and what they can cope with, and that's the maturity of mm-hmm. the prophet. That great context, but then we need to be spirit led in terms of how that is
yeah,
is
what you choose to say and what you don't. Yeah. yeah, yeah. Well, interesting. Bless you guys. And as we just wrap up this session, you do hear the voice of God. You
yep.
do know what he sounds like. And even just if this fullness of this journey into the full office of prophet is not your total thing, it's not the vital, life-giving functionality that God has called you into, if it's not you fully, it will be you partially. And I want you to understand that there is a higher call to be able to ask God bigger questions so that you don't sweat the small stuff. And you don't die on small mountains, and you don't become one of those accidental individual ego type ministers, but that you are one who is able to lead his sheep with great wisdom and great understanding of the God who tells stories in the nations, who is hermeneutically, that means the arc of scripture, with an arc is not Noah's Ark, but with an arc of a storyline, is working his purposes out so that as many as possible can find eternal life.
Correct.
For our God is always wired for harvest. So we bless you to find a higher place of revelation and to leave down any ability that you have currently to prove yourself. You don't need to prove yourself. Bless you. We'll see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello friends, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.